Russell got on to me last time I was up here, said I was going to break his microphone. So he said, I'll just take it down then. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. Hope you get a blessing out of the message tonight. And if you do, I praise God for it. Open your Bible to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, and if you would, please stand for reading God's Word. Got to get some exercise here and get you warmed up. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Well, the brethren's laughing and the sisters are frowning. That ain't what I'm going to preach on. I just want to get your attention. Okay? Look at verse number 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. With that scripture being read, I want to preach tonight on this subject, good news from a far country. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, to be back to church tonight. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word have free course. I pray, God, you'd bless the message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would lead and guide me. God, I don't want to preach what I want to preach. I don't want to preach what nobody wants me to preach. I don't want to preach in the flesh, but I want to preach what thus saith the Lord. And God, I want to preach what the Holy Spirit gives me tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help me tonight. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd bless the message. I pray, God, you'd touch our preacher and encourage him and meet his needs and bless him. And I pray, Father, that everything that's done and said, I'll thank you and praise you for all of it. We're asking in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Proverbs 25 and verse number 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, with that in mind, I want to, by way of introduction, just go a couple of things as we think about news. Now, you know, the scripture here talks about good news. And anything you read out of the Word of God is going to be good news. I mean, you can't read anything bad out of God's Word. It's good news. It don't matter what you look at. Now, some of the scriptures in there may not look like they're good news, but they are good news in the context that God gives them. So the first thing we want to look at is, let's take our modern day life, and we talk about news. TV news. I guarantee you 95% of what you see on the television, on news, whether you watch it in the morning, in the evening, or whether you watch it at night, whenever you watch it, 99% of it is bad news. Very seldom you ever get any good news out of a newscast, whether it's on a television or on a radio or wherever it's at. You don't get any good news very seldom. It's always negative. It's always out of order. And there's nothing ever in order. It's always bad news most of the time. So if you're going to turn on the glass commode and watch the news on that thing, you're not going to get much good news, if any. And then, not only that, but how a test come back. You know, you go to the doctor, and they run a series of tests on you, and they run a bunch of tests, and you're worrying, what about that news? And they'll say, I'll let you know tomorrow at noon, or you can call me tomorrow afternoon, and I'll let you know how your tests come out. And you're wondering, is it going to be good news or bad news? Sometimes it's good news, and sometimes it's bad news. Whatever it is, a lot of times it's bad news. You take a lot of kids in school, take tests in schools every day. And they can't wait to get that grade back. I used to hate to get mine back. Mine's always D's. So I didn't have to worry about whether it's going to be good news and be an A or not, because mine was always bad news and it was a D. You say, well, hey, that ain't bad. It wasn't an F. Well, some of them was, but... So, hey, bad news. But everybody waits on that test. And then you go for a job interview. And they say, well, we've looked over your application, and we've looked over what you've got, and looked over your credentials, and we'll call you tomorrow and let you know. And if they call you tomorrow or the next day and say, I'm sorry, sir, or I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't need you. We just hired the last person, or we've got all we can staff, and we can't staff anymore, and the bad news is we can't hire you. Bad news. Then a lot of times you learn about things, loans. Think about a loan. You go to get a loan. Yeah, whether it's for a car, whether it's for a house, no matter what it is, you go to apply for a loan. And you know, most of the time when we do that, the first thing we think about is, man, it's going to be bad news. They're not going to give us that loan. We can't get what we want. Sometimes it is bad news. We don't like bad news. I don't like bad news. I don't like bad news. Somebody tells me the Tar Heels lost again. But I have to accept it. And then a lot of times we get doctor bills. And we say, well, boy, I hope the insurance paid for that. Sometimes the insurance will, sometimes the insurance won't. A lot of times the insurance won't pay for what we, half of it or some of it. And we get bad news. You owe the doctor in the hospital X number of dollars. That ain't good news. So, you know, as we look at a lot of things in this life, we get a lot of bad news. Sometimes we get bad news from relatives that's had accidents or whatever. I want you to understand one thing. When we look at God's Word, we get good news out of this blessed book. It's 1611 King James Bible. Now, with that in mind, we want to look at a few areas tonight. Good news from a far country. If you would, take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to look at some news tonight, 2 Kings chapter 20, and look at verse number 1. Familiar scriptures. In those days, as Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That ain't too good a news, is it? You say, well, if you say I'm going to heaven and washed in the blood and the bride of Christ, that's good news. Well, it is so far as that, but it's not good news if you don't want to die. Let's see what happened. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, and that word means I beg thee. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before as afar Isaiah was going out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my salvation, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Now, God's number of three is God's number of perfection and completeness. You know, ain't that ironic? He said in 3 days, it's his number of resurrection, his number of completeness. In 3 days, he said, I'll heal you. It's complete. What God does is complete. He said, on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. I know what some of you's thinking right now. Well, that wasn't good news because Hezekiah messed up in the last 15 years. But God gave him the good news then. He said, I'm going to add to your life 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Hey, that's some more good news. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Here we find a man that God said, you're going to die and not live. He said, son, you better get your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And the Bible said Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he wept. He didn't want to die. It was bad news to him that he was going to die and not live. You know what? God took care of that. That was some bad news. But God took care of it. And God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He said, I'm going to take care of the Syrians for you. And I'm going to deliver the king out of Syria into your hand and defend your own city. He said, I'm going to take care of all these things for you. So he got good news out of all that. And like I say, I realize and understand on a few verses on over, Hezekiah messed up and started showing all he had to everybody. And God took care of that. But he got some good news right there. Oh, Hezekiah did. Not only that, but take your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 1. Yeah. 1 Kings chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 2 Kings chapter 1. Look at verse number 39. 2 Kings chapter 1, 1 Kings chapter 1, and verse 39. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped through their pipes and rejoiced with great joy so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were there with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said unto Adonijah, Verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. Boy, that's some good news right there. They didn't get no ungodly man. They didn't get somebody else. They got the man that God wanted for them to have king. And he said that Solomon has been anointed king. You know, that's pretty good news for them. He succeeded David. And he said, all that, Solomon now is going to be king over Israel. That's pretty good news. It may not be good news to you and me, but it was good news to them that Solomon's going to be anointed king. And there's a lot I can say about all this, but I don't want to get into all this. I want to get into the part I want you to get. But look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Boy, I tell you what, this Bible's full of good news. 2 Samuel chapter 9, look at verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, that thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any in the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir of the Amiel in Lodabar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell at his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. Now watch it now. We fix to see some good news. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I could. He didn't say possibly. He didn't say maybe. He said, I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, where is the servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog? But I want you to notice verse number 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Here we got a lame man who was down there in Lodabar, one of the low places, and he was lame in his feet. But a lot of people, he was about totally useless. And there he was sitting down there. He didn't have, he couldn't get up and go. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do nothing. He was lame in his feet. And now all of a sudden, the king sends somebody down there and says, fetch him out and bring him up here. I'm going to put him at my table and I'm going to feed him and I'm going to take care of him and I'm going to restore all the land to him always. He can eat at my table always. He's going to be eating at the king's table. He ain't going to be eating down there where he was in Lodabar. Now who knows what he's eating? He's going to be sitting there, boy, he's going to be eating all them big T-bone steaks. You say, well, don't say that, Brother Melvin. Well, no, but I believe he probably will. But what I want you to understand is, boy, that's some good news for an old boy that was laying down there that couldn't walk and was lame in his feet. He's going to eat the king's table always. Boy, there's going to be one day, praise God, we're going to eat at the king's table too. And then let's go to one more scripture, and I'm going to get into the actual message. Go to Luke chapter 15. Yeah. These are all familiar scriptures. Yeah. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse number 11. Luke 15, verse 11. Yeah. And he said a certain man had two sons. For the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, a lot of people look at that and say, well, he got down there in the hog pens, and he got down there running with all those wild people, and got down there in all that ungodliness and all that worldliness and all that wickedness, and he got what he deserved. Well, yeah, you're right to an extent. But you look at me, if I'd have got what I deserved, I'd be in hell one day. That ain't what I'm preaching on, but I thought I'd throw that in. Yeah, but then the Bible also talks about, let's look at verse number 20. Yeah. See the prodigal son? He got fed up with where he was at and he's coming home. Verse 20. Yeah. He arose and came to his father, but he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put on him, and bring a ring, put on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And I want you to look at verse number 24. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. And they begin to be merry. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, not only is that good news for that father, that was good news for that son. Here he was, he went out and got his inheritance. He went out and squandered it on whatever he squandered it all. He got so bad off with what he had, he was down there eating with the pigs. Probably running with the pigs while he's down there, the reason he wound up in that mess. But here he is. He finally came to himself. He said, I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going back to my father. And I want to tell you what, boy, that was good news, not only when the father saw him coming and when the father welcomed him and put a ring on him and done what he did for him and put a robe on him, but that was good news for the son, but it's good news for the son that he did it. So we got good news both ways, the father and the son. That's pretty good news, ain't it? Well, somebody say, well, boy, my boy, my son done that, boy, I wouldn't do that. Don't say that. We don't know what we'd do. But I'm saying that is good news. Now, let's look at the good news from a far country. What is a far country? A far country is the hope of heaven. Now, yeah, to us a far country may be over in Germany or Siberia or Mexico or over in France or bush countries of Australia. That's not a foreign country. They're distant, a far country, the hope of heaven. What is heaven? Well, you know, if we went around here today and asked everybody, what is heaven? We'd get a lot of the same answers, but we'd probably get a few different answers too in what heaven really was. Oh, we know what the Bible talks about. But what is heaven? Heaven is a place of everlasting bliss. It's a place of everlasting bliss. And you ain't going there, and I ain't going there either, apart from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going there. Let's see what kind of good news we got in heaven. A place of eternal bliss. First of all, we got rewards. Go to Matthew chapter 5.
Yeah.
Look at Matthew chapter 5. Brother, we got some rewards up there. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." Now look at verse number 12. Yeah. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is what? Your reward where? In heaven." He didn't say your reward was here. He said your reward is in heaven. "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What did he say? Great is your reward in heaven. I want to say to you tonight, that's good news from a far country. And if people do something for the Lord Jesus Christ and they do it just to get a... they might as well forget it because they got their reward. What we need to think about is, when we do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is, and we do it for His glory and for His honor and the credit to Him, we got rewards coming for us, and we're going to receive them in heaven. Hey, that's good news. You may do stuff down here and it might go unnoticed. You may do something down here with somebody or accomplish something down here in this life and it goes unnoticed. Why, it's forgotten in a week or two. But I'm going to tell you tonight, brethren, whatever we do for Jesus, it's going to be rewarded, and we're going to be rewarded for it. Where? In heaven. The promise He made. You know, we think about that, it says, your reward is great in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, you can turn there if you'd like to. The Bible says, "Lay not up treasures for yourself upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself," what? "Treasures in heaven." That's where our rewards ought to be, in heaven. It don't matter about here. It matters what we do here that goes to heaven. That's where our rewards is going to be. "Where neither moth and rust corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal." Our treasures, our rewards. We got rewards. That's good news to me. That's good news. Hey, we got some rewards up there in the right motive. Not only that, but this is a very familiar scripture too, and you could quote it, but you turn to it if you want to, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Here's some more good news from a far country.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Whoa! Oh, I read that wrong. Many dwelling places. Oh, okay. "In my Father's house are many mansions." I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what kind of junk Bibles they got. It can say anything they want to, but my Bible says that we've got a mansion in heaven. And if he didn't have a mansion, and it was a 6x9 pop tent, that'd be fine too. But we've got a mansion up there. And boy, you know, I've thought about that a many a time. I read about old Solomon's temple and all the gold that was put in it and everything he had in that thing and how immaculate it was and all the service he had. Now, Solomon's temple don't even compare with the mansion I believe we're going to have. "For in my Father's house are many mansions if they were not." And by the way, mine and Bruby's going to have the same mansion. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will." He didn't say I might. He didn't say I could. He didn't say I'll think about it. He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We got a mansion sitting up there waiting on us right now. It's waiting on us. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been born again. I believe everybody in this building is. And you're part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. You got a mansion waiting on you. So, we got a mansion in heaven. Not only that, but we'll never die. We'll never die. Go back over to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. We'll never die. You know, Luke chapter 20, and look at verse number 34. Luke chapter 20, verse number 34. Yeah. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. And by the way, we're going to be resurrected from the dead. You know, when that trump blows, don't get excited, Marvin. When that trump blows, he calls us out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and hey, it's going to happen. It may happen before I get through yelling. I don't know, but it's going to happen. We're going to be resurrected one day and get out of this old nasty flesh. Yeah, yeah. Neither married nor given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. Verse number 36. Neither can they die anymore. We get to heaven, we won't never die again. We will always be alive. They won't be no more dying in heaven. They won't be no need for funeral homes. Yeah. Oh, Honeycutt and these boys, Larry and all them, they'll be out of business, son. They won't be no funeral homes up there. They won't be no corpses up there. Why? Because we'll never die. Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed a man once to die and after this to judgment. We find over Ecclesiastes says that man dies. We won't die there. Brother, when we get up there, hey, that's good news. I'll never die and you'll never die when we get up there in heaven. It'll not happen. We'll never die. Yeah, and then not only that, but turn to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Hey, the news it just keeps on coming. Yeah, this newscast keeps on coming out of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 21. Let's look at verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you about... I wouldn't be surprised if everybody in this building tonight is hurting somewhere. Your back hurts, your head hurts, your leg hurts, your finger hurts, your head hurts, your ear hurts, your toe hurts. We hurt all over. Everybody in here's got pains of some kind in their bodies that they deal with. Some's got more than others and some's got less than others. But everybody in here deals with pain of some kind. Boy, ain't that going to be good news when we get to heaven? God said He'd wipe away all tears from our eyes and there'll be no more death. There won't be no more dying. As we just read that, we ain't gonna die up there. Neither sorrow. And I dare say, there's probably some of us that suffered sorrow in the last 2 weeks or the last week of our lives. But whatever the reason, there's been something sorrowful coming in our lives we had to deal with. And if it didn't come today and it didn't come last week, look out for tomorrow the next day. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, death is a reality. There won't be no more death up there. We won't have to worry about our loved ones dying up there. It needs, because there ain't no death. We don't even have to worry about it. Neither sorrow. I dare say tonight, I bet you, I guarantee you, everybody in here, including this preacher right here, there's some sorrow in our hearts about something. Part of life. Nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Glory to God. No more pain. You won't hurt no more. You won't be sick no more. You won't have to go to the doctor no more. There won't be no more pain. There won't be no more arthritis. There won't be no more surgeries. There won't be no more heart attacks. There won't be no more cancer. There won't be no more pain up there. For the former things are passed away, and they will be, I think I'll spell it right, G-O-N-E, gone. If I didn't, you can tell me later. Hey, and it keeps on getting good. Not only that, but go back over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Not only that, but there's joy in heaven. Luke chapter 15, look at verse number 7. Jesus said, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons that which need no repentance. Now what did he say? I say unto you that likewise what? Joy shall be in heaven. What does that word joy mean? That word joy means to rejoice. It means cheerfulness. It means pleasure. It means happiness. There ain't a negative in there. It's all positives. Joy. There's joy in heaven. There ain't no sadness up there. There ain't no nothing going on up there that makes people sad. Yeah. There's joy in heaven. They're happy. They're cheerful. They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing around the throne. Why? Because they don't have no more pain. They're with Jesus. They're cheerful. There's pleasure. They're happy. We may be happy down here one day and sad the next day. But boy, that's good news to me that there's going to be joy in heaven forever and ever and ever. There won't be no more sadness or nothing else. It'll be joy. And then I know this will probably bless some people too. They're going to be rest. How many of you are tired tonight? You don't need to raise your hands. How many of us are tired tonight? Not only tired from life, tired from work, and tired from what's going on in this world, and tired from sin, and tired from ungodliness, and tired of all that goes on. There ain't nobody in here that's not. We're going to be rest. We're going to get some rest up there. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Boy, I hope this good news is helping somebody. I'm getting blessed out of it because it's God's Word. Revelation chapter 14, and look at verse number 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Rest from their labors. Boy, there's going to be a day when we get up there in heaven and we're not going to have to worry about nothing. We're going to rest. We're going to rest for eternity. We get tired down here and we get weary down here and we get bogged down here. And for a lot of reasons, you might work a long day, 10, 12, 14 hours a day of work. You come home, you got work to do there. We need rest. Our bodies need rest. Our minds need rest. We need rest sometimes. A lot of times we don't get the rest we want or get the rest we need. But boy, up there, we're going to get some rest. The Spirit may rest for their labors. We're going to rest one day. We're going to rest and rest and rest and rest. That's what he said. That's good news to me. I don't know about you, son. I get tired sometimes. I get weary sometimes. And I need to rest. And I know you do too. Not only that, but praise God, we're going to get a new body. Amen. How about that, brother? We're going to get a new body. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Boy, this is good too. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, our wicked body. Our vile body, our wicked body. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. We're going to get a glorified body. You know what that is? A glorified body, you get that, you'll never die. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ, His glorious body. That word glorified means powerful. It means a body of honor. This body we live in today ain't no body of honor because we're full of sin. We're sinners. The word glorified means wealth. And it means grandeur. There ain't no negatives in that. Boy, that's good news. I'm going to shed this old body of clay. I'm going to shed this old body of sin. I'm going to shed this old body of flesh. And so are you. And we're going to get a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that will never die. A body that will never get sick. A body that will never have any pain. A body that will never want anything. We're going to have a perfect body like Jesus. It's glorified. And we're going to have it. That's pretty good news to me. I'll get rid of this old broken down body. I'll get rid of this body and I'll get me a glorified body just like you will. Boy, I tell you what, if lost people could just see, if they could just see what they could get by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ versus going to hell, spending eternity in the lake of fire, we're getting a glorified body and it'll never die. It'll never die. You know, not only that, but you know, we're going to be there for eternity. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 3. I'm almost through. John chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. You know, whosoever, and this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ again. You know, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, look at John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. Yeah, and I give unto them again, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. He gives us eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And how this crowd comes up with this, you can lose your salvation, I have never figured it out. I don't care what they say, and I don't care what kind of Bible they use, and that's just a couple of scriptures. The Bible's full of them. We're going to be there for eternity. That's good news to me. Yeah. Now, yeah, if we're going to be up there 1,000 years, and then we're coming back down here, that wouldn't be quite as good a news. But we're going to be up there for eternity. That's what the Bible says. Everlasting. What is that? It's everlasting. What is eternity? There's no beginning and no end. And may I say to you tonight, we'll be there eternity. We won't be there for a second. We won't be there for a minute. We won't be there for an hour. We won't be there for a day. We won't be there for a month. We won't be there for a year. We won't be there for a decade. We won't be there for a millennium. But we'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We'll be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never end. Never. So it's for eternity. And then another very familiar scriptures, and you know, he's coming back. That's good news. You know, a lot of times parents tell their kids, well, I'll be back to get you now at such and such a time. Sometimes the parents don't even ever show up. They just leave them where they're at. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I'll pick you up at a certain time. They don't show up. But I want to say to you tonight, boy, we got some good news in here. Jesus said he's coming back. Very familiar scriptures. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very familiar scriptures. I want to read them. I like it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, that's good news to me. Yeah. He's coming back for us one day, and he's taking us out of this ungodly place down here. He's going to rapture us out and take us home to be with him. And that may not be exciting. It's exciting to me that he's coming back one day to get me. He ain't going to leave us behind. And one day you're going to hear that trump and Marvin keeps talking about, and he's coming back. He's coming back in power and great glory, and he's going to take us out of here. Who's he taking out? The ecclesia, the called out ones, his bride. Yeah, his bride. So he's coming back. Then I got two more points and I'll be through. This is another about as good a news as anything I've seen. Now, take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know, the devil will be put away forever. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 10. You know, and the devil that deceived them. Them who? Those he's talking about over here in verses 14 on down through to 15. The lost, the great white throne judgment crowd. And the devil, which deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We ain't going to have to worry that scoundrel no more. We're not going to be aggravated with him anymore. We're not going to have to worry about his shenanigans anymore. He's not going to be around to tempt us. He's not going to be around to bring us down. He's not going around to accuse us. He's not going to be around to cause a lot of problems. He ain't going to be around. He's going to be burning in that lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And whenever and ever is ended, he'll still be down there. He ain't going to be bothering us no more. Boy, that's good news. If it wasn't nothing good news, the devil ain't going to be around no more. And then I'll close with this. I hope I can get through this one. Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to try to get through this. We're going to see his face. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, sitting out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street, and on either side of the side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Hang on. And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Hang on. Hang on, verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. All this news that I give you tonight is basically irrelevant to the fact that we're going to see one day the God that created us, the God that spoke worlds into existence, the God that rules the universe, the God that gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Look at the face. Look at the face of Jesus. The God that gave it all for us. The God that tells the sun when to come up and go down. The God that controls the moon, tells it when to shine, tells the moon when to be a quarter full and half full. The God that created the stars, he tells them when to twinkle and when not to twinkle. He tells them when to fall from heaven and not to fall. The very God that touched the lame, healed, give the blind their sight, raise the dead. The very God that hung on that cross of Calvary and gave his life for us. And we're going to see his face one day. We're going to see his face. And they say, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Boy, if there ain't nothing in this book that's good news, that is. Can you imagine the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and that compassionate look he has? Yeah, it's amazing to me. So no matter what good news we've got, and this book is full of them, seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make it worth it all. Make it worth it all. Let's bow for prayer.